Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at The Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at The Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
Pop Life Podcast today is May, is it 27 or 28?
27.
The month
the Friday ago. Before Memorial Day. Summer is here. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's just, so, yeah. Even though New
I don't
York
know
weather,
where May
janky.
Went.
Yeah, where May blinked out of here. By. Even though so, the weather in New York is still pretty janky. Like, it's not. It was hot, like, last weekend. It was hot. Like, it was hot.
It was nice last weekend, yeah.
Yeah, but then it got, it's like, you know, 60, 70. So it ain't like it's cold, but it ain't summer. But, you know, next week it'll be 95.
Yeah. I'm in D.C., and just as we started recording, it just started thunderstorming, which in old Black people terms means I really need to get off the computer.
Yeah, you need to get up there. It's because he's on that phone.
You see that? You see that girl got struck by
lightning? Yeah, you saw that shit, right?
Yo! But those who didn't see it, there was a post last week about this girl, this teenage girl who got struck by lightning in her house, and the Black people in the reply.
Damn.
Everybody was like, she was on that phone. She was in the bathtub, wasn't it?
Yep.
She sat out and let the Lord do his work.
She wasn't sitting still. She was watching that TV.
She was on the phone. She was on that phone.
That phone.
She was on that phone. You
that
was on
particular
that
phone. You know? I want to give a quick shout out to my cousin Kendra and my new cousin Christian. They actually got married during the pandemic. Uh-huh. They got married in 20. It was like the height of the pandemic. So they went to like a park and got married. And I think I mentioned it on here. We Zoomed, watched it, but they had the actual reception Saturday past. And it was, you know, out in Long Island. It was really nice. And everybody was happy. And so, you know, I guess they already been married, but I guess a belated congratulations because they had the ceremony. But one thing I noticed, I guess I've noticed it before, but I don't know if it's more pronounced this time. Like, the actual Black people, and I wonder if it's one on Spotify or something. I would hope it would be the Black People Wedding Playlist.
Okay.
There's the specific songs.
Yes.
You know, the Electric Slide, the original one.
The original one.
Feel it.
Yep.
That one. Yeah, there's certain songs that I played. Montel Jordan.
Yeah.
This is how we do it.
Cha-cha slide.
You know, and on, there's a certain Black wedding songs that are played at every wedding, bar none. And then there's, you know, there's they go into the like, little soca section and the jump. They had that.
Yeah,
that one. And there's a new one where there's like some type of dance. You kind of step to the side.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember the name of it. Yeah, I know it, but I don't
talking about, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a couple years old. Yeah.
Exactly. It's a couple years old. I just found it interesting. Like, it's like, I could literally, like, name, okay, he about to play this next. Oh, yeah, he's about to play that.
Yeah, it's, especially if it's a intergenerational
wedding
reception.
It was.
And what I love is that you can always tell what kind of DJ you got. If they're playing soul classics during dinner, you know, like, they about to, or playing, like, smooth jazz, like this Najee.
Yeah, smooth jazz.
Like,
so Grover Washington Jr.
You know, you know exactly where this whole, you can do the,
you know what's
the
going.
Playlist
when you hear,
now.
When you hear that saxophone playing, you're like, okay, I see what he about to do.
Yeah, they be playing fucking Kenny G Songbird. You know exactly how.
Yeah, exactly. Songbird is a joy at every wedding. Every wedding, B.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I always find is fascinating? Because I guess I'm so observant. Like, when I watch the people, and they always usually be mostly women, but dudes too, doing whatever line dances it is.
Yeah.
Slide or whatever. I always be sitting there like, okay, that's, you know, Sandra, who worked down to the office, and like there's a whole section of people in that office that have no idea of this side of her.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because she's in the office handling her business, and doing her work. Blah blah blah. She got her shortcut and them glasses, You know, and you know
ain't
that person.
Her when she put her going out clothes on,
and or the, with them flip flops on, and she getting in, and that ass is bouncing. And yep. I did have no idea that Miss Jenkins got this side of her.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was nice. I just wanted to say that before we moved on, before I forgot about it. Mm. Yeah. So let's. Do you got anything to say before we jump in? Anybody cool?
I have a 5-year old now.
Wow. Oh, wait, what was her birthday? Happy birthday, Ivy.
The 19th.
Oh, wow. Happy birthday. Yeah, 5. Wow.
No, that's crazy, right?
It is. Because I remember when you took, I still remember you telling the Twitter world that you were pregnant. I still remember that.
Like, shit.
Like, you know, obviously you had gotten to the point where you were comfortable telling, and you said it on Twitter. I still remember. Mm-hmm. I can't believe that was 6 years ago. If she's 5, yeah. So. Wow.
And just the updates about Ivy in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
The,
all of that.
Yeah,
all
she
that,
came
all of
such
that.
A long
she
way.
Was coming home. Yep. I still remember like saying she was coming home. Like, I just, the Ivy Strong hashtags.
Mm-hmm.
She's strong in the mug. Like,
yeah,
she's brolic now.
Well, hashtag work.
She's the fifth
this
member
of the last child.
Yeah, she's the fifth member of the show. Like, that's a trip, man. That's a trip.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes. Yeah, so, well, happy birthday, Ivy. And we love you here at the Pop Life Podcast.
Right.
I want to mention real quick, because it's a real quick ink I'm sure you saw at the last episode of Wonder Years for this season or whatever.
I didn't even realize it was the season finale.
Yeah, because it wasn't. But it
until like the end. Yeah.
At the end, it kind of like, oh yeah. So that and so the finale was basically Dean. Kind of confessed his love, air quotes, for Kesa.
His love for Kesa,
who has a boyfriend who's a nice kid.
Who actually is a really good friend to Dean, too. Like,
yeah,
they hang out
they found that they were both nerds on the low. They love Star Trek and all this other stuff. And so, yeah. And he's a really nice, like, they brought him in. I forget his name now, but they brought him in like he was kind of like this, but he's actually like a really nice kid, which as a layer, because Dean feels bad because he likes his friends, and then Kesa goes away for the summer, and then Dean ends up going away for the summer. He goes to New York with his dad.
He goes to New York to hang with his dad and record
and
music.
And it's the old school shit. And you know, it's the old school shit. So they driving from Montgomery, Alabama to New York City. And his father pulls out the green book at the end, like, because it was 1968. He's like, yo, we know when we got to stop, when we stop. It's just that old, I still remember that, and I'm sure everybody on this panel remembers those summers when you would get in the car mm-hmm. and drive with your family down south or whatever. Like, it brought back like that memory to me of like, yeah, you last this trip, like, damn, they drive. And it was just Dean and his dad, they driving. That's a long-ass ride, too.
Yeah, because the mom got a promotion, so she wouldn't be around a lot of time during the summer to take care
and
of
the sister didn't want to leave. She didn't want to go. She's like, I ain't going.
Yeah.
So, but yeah,
that show is perfect.
It's awesome.
I'm still angry with everybody who's not watching it, but they did get a second season. Thank goodness.
They did.
So we'll see him in the fall.
Dean and Kesa got their first kiss
during a tornado warning in Alabama. So crazy.
It was a great finale without even realizing it was a finale. Yeah. Other TV thing, because I'm just going to do a couple TV things, but so, you know, we haven't taped in a minute. Did you watch the season finale of Atlanta?
I did.
What'd you think?
What is the show? Like, it's good, but it's also like, I shouldn't have to do these mental gymnastics to figure out the storyline of anything, really. But this is supposed to be, like, I guess a comedy, or I don't know what genre it's in. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around, you know, Vanessa being a criminal now with an alternate personality, and are we sure this even happened?
Exactly. Well, Donald and Steven, his brother, have clearly taken a hard left from the first season, where it was basically more
it's a different show.
It's just night and day.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of this is based on obviously the pandemic as well. They couldn't, you know, film like they wanted to and all this stuff, but still there's like all these kind of like cosmic layers, and was that a ghost? Did that really happen? These alternate universes, and
wasn't this only like 5 episodes?
No, it was 8.
Really?
It was 8.
I
it was 8.
I said I was gonna wait till the season was over and then binge. I keep forgetting that.
You don't have to because there's no continuity.
Yeah, there's no continuity.
Just random shit happening every episode. Yeah.
But I personally love it. Like I love the show. Oh, and I love the country. Yeah, but bro, I know, bro. I didn't mention nothing to bro because I know him already. But
Atlanta is definitely the TV equivalent of a Kendrick Lamar album.
Very well.
You know what happened? FX did Eddie Murphy and Nelson from Boomerang. They gave that nigga the green light.
They're like, I have complete autonomy.
Autonomy, and then that nigga came back for Afterbirth.
I really like the show. I really like what they did this season.
Excellent reference.
But it's legit. It's legit. And by the way, so, I don't know if you knew, Inka. I don't know if we talked about this, but the Kevin Samuels episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know that was supposed, Steve Harvey was supposed to play that role.
Do you think Steve Harvey would actually say yes to that though?
They said they was in talks. He dropped out at the last minute, but he was supposed to do it.
Damn.
Well, I'm just going to say, I'm not saying anybody's lying. In talks means the rep has taken my call.
Out. Yeah, and we said we wanted it.
I said no.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody sent an email.
It means we had a conversation about it. Basically.
Steve is willing to do a lot of shit. I don't know how self-deprecating he's willing to go.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he is still a 60-year-old nigga from, you know,
65-year-old nigga.
65-year-old nigga from the Midwest.
Yeah.
So I don't know that that's kind of in his wheelhouse to want to do that level of shit. I would be very, very hard pressed to think that Steve legitimately entertained that idea.
Okay. Well,
I'm so shocked to see Liam Neeson.
When were they going to shoot that? When were they going to shoot that? That was going to have to be on a Zoom. The nigga is...
That nigga's busy as hell. So, and then apparently, again, you know, what they saying, this last episode with... they had Alexander Skarsgård in this last episode, which is a crazy right. get. They've had some big gets this season. And they saying that was supposed to be... I don't like him. The guy from La La Land. The white guy. What's his name? He's dope. Super. Ryan something.
Gosling.
That was supposed to be Ryan Gosling. Yeah. And then Ryan said it. Ryan himself said he was supposed to do Atlanta this season, but he couldn't work out the schedule.
That's interesting.
But I mean.
But the Alexander Skarsgård storyline was mad weird.
Weird. To me, the fly shit about that storyline was like him dancing to Ashanti. I was like, that ain't big. Oh, baby. And he like said it. He was like, oh, I love Ashanti. Is she still with Nelly? Like, it was crazy.
What is this show? Again,
I don't know.
What are we doing?
I don't know, but I really enjoy it. I really enjoy
Wildly entertaining, but literally, like, connecting those dots is not something I have time for.
Yeah, and we're going to get season 4, which is the final season. They shot 3 and 4 back to back. So we're going to get that in like August, September. It's going to come right back around. So we'll see if maybe we'll get a lot more continuity going into the last season. But
Does Van's mom have Lottie?
Yes.
Where is the baby? Okay.
Yeah, Van's mom has Lottie. Yes. And they're back.
Sean laughing at me.
Yeah, Sean, you know Sean. Sean, you're from my
mom. I'm laughing. Because that is some very black mama shit.
Yeah,
right?
Where's the baby?
Where's the baby?
Exactly. Like, exactly.
What y'all are tracing around Europe.
Yeah, where is the child?
I just needed to interrupt to let y'all know that Patti LaBelle now has frozen pancakes at Walmart.
I saw that today.
The way I'm trying to figure out.
God bless Patti.
Banana pudding too.
Southern all kind of shit.
Yeah, God bless her. God bless her, man.
Mac and cheese and lemon meringue pie. Oh shit!
Patty got a whole. Patty's the Walmart new Sarah Lee. She's the black Sarah Lee. I wanted to also mention the couple. We Own This City. Have you watched it? Yeah, it's really good. It's only 6 episodes, so this is the finale. It's really good. It's basically like the
very good.
It's The Wire. Kind of continued, but up to date because this is surrounding the Freddie Gray.
Well, this is actually all true,
and it's all true. Yeah.
This is actually pulled from records and mm-hmm. data and information and actual court cases. So
yeah, one of the creators wrote a book that this is based on.
Yeah, and you can go on YouTube and watch, like, I've gone on YouTube and watched, they have footage, like body cam footage of them, like some of the things they show in the movie, in the show rather. Like Wayne Jenkins running off on people, planting drugs, like they have footage of all that shit. So it's really interesting. It's really well done. Like I said, this is the season finale this week, because only 6 episodes, but I think they're gonna kind of, I've read that David Simon might do more of these, kind of like pick a case, mm-hmm. and then kind of surround, you know, make a little short.
But this is actually a good, this has actually been really good for a lot of these networks, the mayor of Easttown, things of that nature. So these sort mm-hmm. of very small mini series,
yeah, the limited run joints.
Limited run joints are really good because it also top tier talent, right? Like they
yeah.
are movie quality talent
mm-hmm.
for these sorts of sorts of projects. So it's really interesting to see. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they did that. I mean, they've had wild success with David Simon and HBO and Baltimore in particular. So mm-hmm. it just kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it was really good. And last thing I want to mention on TV, well, not the last thing, but Hacks is back.
Yeah.
It's been
season.
Great so far. So far,
I haven't chimed in. I haven't tuned in yet.
You're only two behind. Is it two or three behind, Inga?
I think we're on episode 4 right now.
Yeah, so you're the only three behind. You can blast through it quickly.
I was on so much weekly stuff. Like, I have been watching, I need to watch the newest episodes. I've been watching this joint on Apple TV called The Shining Girls.
Mm.
And it's got Elizabeth Moss in it. And it's about a serial rapist and murderer, but somehow it hasn't all unfolded yet, but somehow he travels through time. So like one victim will be left with an item. When they find them, they'll have an item that's from like decades before the victim was born with them.
Mm.
So, you know, like stuff like that. And Elizabeth Moss was one of his victims that survived. So she's trying to like figure it out. So but her own reality keeps fucking up. Like she'll come home to her apartment, and all of a sudden her coworker is her husband, and she'll be like, and it's got something to do with him. So there, and he's like, or he'll go somewhere and he'll be like, you weren't here last time. You know, like it's weird. We're still trying to get the reveal, but I've been watching that, and I've been watching this joint on Prime that's also every Friday that's called Beyond the Border of Heaven, or Beyond the Something of Heaven. That's a true life, is based on a true life murder case of this fundamental Mormon, these fundamentalist Mormon brothers who murdered one of their sister-in-laws and her kids.
Mm.
And the police department, because it's in Utah, the police department is primarily Mormon, and the lead detective obviously is Mormon. So it's this really interesting look, and it kind of also shows this parallel to the history of the Mormon church and like John Smith and Brigham Young taking over and the polygamy.
Is
all
this
that.
New or is this older?
It's new. It's
okay, because I feel like I watched something like similar to it with some Mormons, but mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I don't know what it was. I watched a series too, was about some Mormons and some murder shit, but I can't remember what
it might have been. Maybe it could have been like a docuseries based on the same, because
maybe
a story. It happened in the early 80s, I think.
Yeah, I think I saw this. I saw something like this.
And it started over something wild. It started because this dude didn't want to pay taxes, and he argued that it was against the original, because the Mormon church Bible changes based on whatever prophet is in charge of the church.
Mm.
So like they don't deal with a lot of John Smith's stuff anymore, who was the founder of the Mormon church. It was
I think that maybe it was a docuseries. I definitely remember this. I remember this.
That's crazy.
I was gonna say some other shit. Oh, did have y'all
under the border of heaven. I think they said under the border of heaven or something. Under the banner of heaven or something like that.
Have y'all watched Our Father?
No. Yes, I did.
Did you watch it, Nika?
I didn't. I heard about it though.
It's a wild documentary. So it's about this doctor who is a fertility doctor.
Yeah, he runs
in. Was he in Indiana, I think?
I can't remember where.
Somewhere in the Midwest. and he runs this fertility clinic, and then it comes out that he was supposed to be helping these women get pregnant from their husband's sperm, of course, and stuff like that. And, you know, women who were having hard times conceiving for various reasons. Right. And, you know, his success rate gets high, so more and more people in the town, because I think it's Indianapolis, I'm almost sure, they, you know, start to go there and come find out that he's fathering all these kids.
He's been using his own sperm.
His own sperm.
So what was wild about it, so I saw this scripted series that I think was based on this, right? Okay. Where this woman goes on like a 23andMe type whatever, and I think it was because she was sick. There was some reason.
Mm.
And she thinks that she only has, she finds two siblings, and then they come to find they have like 20-something siblings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the same father, and I think there was something of like having to reconcile with the one who was raised by the father or something like that, right? But the twist in the real story, and for him, I think in the scripted series, I think he gave the reason is like just because there was a higher success rate if he used his own sperm, yeah. Right? But in the real story, it was some eugenics shit because he was blonde hair and blue eyes.
Yeah, it was like almost some Aryan Nation shit.
Mm-hmm. Fucking blonde hair, blue eyes. Like, it's just so disgustingly wild. And one of the thing that freaked me out the most was that one of the women who he fathered became his patient. And she's like, he knew I was his daughter. And like, he's treating me, he's all up in my, I mean, she didn't say this, but basically like, he's like, he's all
he's
up
all
in
up,
my
all up in me, yeah.
Yeah, like, knowing I'm his kid, that's, I wouldn't have wanted that for Wiley Violet. Like, yeah,
and he kept lying. He kept, like, they had a meet, that the kids who found each other had a meeting with him, because they all lived in the same area. They all lived in the same general area. Nobody really moved away. And so they had a meeting with him, and they were like, he was like, well, I promise, it's only the 12 of you. So, and then it would come out later, be like, there's 23. Then there's 41.
Right.
There was 51. It was like, it was by, and people were like, yo, like, I don't know. Like, we might have dated a PE.
Exactly. You
know, what's the total number of kids now?
I think it was 60 something. It was a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. Might
that's
have been
crazy
70.
For like a town in Indiana.
Yeah.
Are you fucking
crazy.
Serious?
He was just doing it to everybody, and because you know the word got around. It's like, oh yo, go to him. He could make you have a baby.
But literally, he was only using his own sample.
Only use his own shit.
Not like it didn't take the first time, so I'm gonna use my sample. Like, he was only using.
Yeah. He would basically like take the husband's shit and throw it in the trash.
Yeah.
And then use his shit, and then not tell them, of course. So if this person hadn't done the ancestry thing, nobody would have never found out.
So in my little blurbs that I've been reading, I see that this isn't technically illegal.
It's not. He got
and
no
that's
trouble.
That's the problem.
He got a no. I think he paid a $500 fine. It got no trouble at all. And
can they at least bankrupt him for back child support?
Nothing. Well, not because they're grown. Children. Not because they're all grown. They all like.
I mean, back child support.
I don't think so. And like, you know, he obviously ruined lives because people's husbands were like, "It's not my child." Like, what the fuck? You know, it was. It's an ill documentary. It really is. It's real. And as you said, the illest thing is like your man got in no trouble. Like, he just kept it pushing. You know. I want to talk about monkeypox.
Oh Lord!
Shout out to everybody that is in the armed forces or has.
It's all already been.
You are already inoculated. If you have the smallpox vaccine, if you got the little scar, then you're inoculated against the monkeypox virus.
I ain't got that.
How y'all old?
Really?
Smallpox vaccine.
I ain't got it.
My mama.
I remember that shit though. I remember
your ass is old enough to have gotten the smallpox.
My God! I remember getting in school. It was like this little. Circular thing.
Yeah,
that shit hurt. I remember that. I still remember that shit hurt.
Oh, you got it, man.
Yeah, but I ain't got the scar.
Oh,
I guess.
Got the scar.
but them monkeypox is scary. I know, and up in Canada,
yeah, 81 years old.
Exactly.
You know, like, I know how it's like rings on the tree. That's how you
had,
know how old
had,
a black person is.
I had the polio
scar.
I had the polio. I got over that. had the whooping cough. But up in
you got a pertussis vaccine. That's some old shit.
Yeah. I know up in Quebec, I think it's around the Montreal area, they found like 25 cases.
Right.
So it's starting to really
spread. And of course, now motherfuckers is like, oh, I'll take that vaccine because they can visibly, it's something they can visibly see, ignorant ass motherfuckers.
Yeah, exactly, because you get all these nasty bumps on your face and hands. And so peace to the people with the monkeypox and, you know.
Wash your hands, wear your mask, stay inside.
Yeah, just keep what you got to do, man. And it's okay. I still wear my mask now when I go out.
Me too. I get looked at crazy.
Yeah. A lot. Yeah.
When I was traveling these past couple of days, it was really wild because, you know, the airlines have removed the mask mandate. And in my flight going to Nashville, I was in first class, but I sat in the wrong seat at first. I sat in the wrong row. But my seatmate in that row had on her mask and I was happy. But then when I moved to my right row, my seatmate did not. And I was like, fuck. I was getting some food, even just being in the restaurant, like almost nobody had their mask on, except staff. I'm just like, this is wild. And so many people that I know, like everybody I know who didn't get COVID yet is slowly getting COVID. And now I'm concerned, like, shit.
I know like three people who've gotten COVID in the past 2-3 weeks.
I know quite a bit more than that. It's like, basically, it's kind of like with Omicron, except the numbers are, like, if you were out in a group, you're going to test positive, except the numbers are smaller only because it's just hitting the people who didn't already have Omicron.
Yeah. The numbers seem smaller because they're not required to report in the same way.
Well, that too, right.
True. Did y'all watch the Versus? Any of y'all watch the Versus?
Me and Cheyenne watched it last night, but we ran it back because I didn't even know it was happening, which I'm like, what the fuck? This is one I've been waiting on.
Mm-hmm.
I got to say, Tila and fucking
Tila. Tila.
Woo, they made my goddamn night.
With a fur coat in May.
Oh, that was amazing.
In Atlanta.
And Big Boy had on a fur, too, in Atlanta. Or some temp shit. I mean, if you're going to do it. But Big Boy had on a fur and shorts, which was hilarious.
Yeah, Tila
had on a whole suit. Nazzy Faye had on a goddamn brocade vest with 8,000 chains.
If you're going to do it, then do it. Shirt.
Listen. Yeah, that was, I love that shit.
It
so
was,
much.
That was definitely the most southern one.
Yeah. I mean, when Chad's daughter, when Pimp C's daughter came up on stage around my bum, was like, I didn't know who he was. I was about to woo.
It looked like a good time. I'd spoken to Bun early yesterday afternoon. He was real excited. You know, ready to go, but it looked like a good time. I'm actually kind of sad I didn't make it there, but I'm glad for him because he had to wait because it was actually supposed to be before, and they kept getting bumped. It was supposed to be quite a while ago, and they kept getting bumped for, you know, I think Gladys and Patty came, and a couple of the big artists came, so they had to kind of adjust schedules. But I'm glad he got a chance to do it, and it went off without a hitch, and everybody had a good time. You know,
yeah. And it was in a small venue, and they had a bunch of niggas on stage.
I was scared of that they was going to be flooding the stage, but no, they kept the stage clean. And sidebar, I don't know why this is even relevant, but I didn't know that all your gals loved MJG like that.
You know, well, I mean, yeah,
I kept seeing on Twitter like, I was like, really?
Listen, I'm not going to say that I'm part of that conglomerate, but. There's some 8-Ball MJG songs that are like chick songs.
Okay.
Like Space Age Pimpin' is a chick.
Space Age Pimpin', yeah, definitely.
And then when it was like, what was the other one? There was something else that I was trying to remember, and I just forgot. But I was shocked. There were so many moments. Me and Cheyenne were having mad moments.
It was a good show. Yeah, but I didn't know.
Lay it down. All you hoes, lay it down. Yeah, like it's chick songs. Yeah.
I didn't know the MJG was like a country southern sex symbol.
I actually didn't either, but I see it.
So
neither did I.
Yeah, neither did I until yesterday.
He was dope.
He looks good. I mean, but if you looked at the Twitter on the IG on the comments, it was just a lot of like MJ. Right. Ooh, MJ. Oh, he's like that. I was like, oh,
yeah, I know that.
Well, the rap elders are either very, very like fine and well together, like the Lox and Method Man, or they are boozy.
Yeah,
and like there's no in between.
Yeah, there's no middle ground. I'll just mention I guess we should mention Buffalo shooting, because again, we didn't tape. And obviously with the Texas massacre, because that's what it was, which we'll get into in a little while. I don't want the Buffalo massacre, which what that was, too, to kind of get lost in the sauce now. Because this hasn't been 2 weeks, right, for Buffalo? It hasn't been 2 weeks.
Yeah, they've only had like one or two funerals from the victims so far.
Yeah, I saw Shopton on the news today. He was going up today to do one of the funerals in Buffalo. 18-year-old kid, I forget his name, it don't even matter, drove 4 hours, about 200 miles from Buffalo to, and specifically picked out a black neighborhood.
Found the zip code with the highest black population.
Exactly. Went to the black supermarket, which apparently is the only black supermarket in Buffalo. And of course, in that, I don't know which side of Buffalo, the black side, it's a food desert. So that supermarket is really all or nothing. And so he knew that the people from the community would be there. And he walked in, got in a gun shootout, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he got in some type of shootout with the security guard, who apparently was a really nice guy and everybody loved. Like, you know, he was a security guard that worked there for years. He was a retired policeman. He knew everybody's name and, hey, Miss Jenkins, and all that type of thing. And he was killed. And then he was walking in the store and, you know, started shooting on him.
It was apparently also the, it was a day after SSI benefits hit, I think.
Oh, so that's why all the elders were there.
He had been planning. He had legit been planning that shit.
Yeah. So he killed. Was it 10 people passed away?
Somewhere I read 11. Most people saying 10. I think there was one who died at
10 or 11. 10 or 11.
It's crazy that there's been so many mass shootings that we forget.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And they had to close the store, obviously. They will reopen, but they wanted to give the staff time to recover from trauma.
And it's a crime scene.
And it's a crime scene.
But also, Top just got bought by a parent company. So they were all doing renovations in this area anyway, kind of turning them over. So I think they're going to start that process on that store now, too.
Okay. But they were offering like shuttle ride service to another location. But still, it changes the convenience, the dynamic.
Of course. Especially for like an elder. It's like, you know, it's hard to get on a bus and drive maybe 20 minutes, a shuttle bus where to drive maybe 20 minutes to another place. Maybe the prices aren't as low as Tops. You know, you know, people fix incomes, you never know, you know. So he's a piece of shit. And I hope niggas handle their business when he gets to whatever correctional facility he's going to upstate. And, you know, and do what needs to be done, because he's a fucking piece of shit. And of course, they tried to try out the mental illness shit immediately and try to make him like he's the victim. Like, so, you know, also sad for him because he was bullied and all this other stupid shit. But, you know, driving 4 hours to murder people, bullying doesn't explain away none of that shit. So
none of it makes sense. None of the eugenics that he's talking about, none of it. You kill people who are, if you're worried about white babies being born, why are you killing people past childhood?
When the 60s and 70s, exactly. Yeah.
None of it makes sense. Yeah. And I keep trying to tell y'all, like, that's where we live. This super far upstate shit, like, right. I pass Confederate flags and Trump 2024 flags every single day on my way to Top's grocery store, right, which is the one down the street that we use.
Which is
so, yeah.
And my also, another, like, the radicalization of these young minds, right? Like, if these motherfuckers don't really get into this, I mean, I know that there are certain intelligence agencies who watch chatter on Discord and 4chan and 8chan, but there actually needs to be, I feel like, a more public conversation about the breeding grounds that they are, because even like QAnon came out of this type shit, right?
So
it's like, and they're not secret places, and they're impacting every fucking area of society, not just in America but globally, because there's no limit to the reach, right?
Of course.
So all this like incel shit, the extremism, all of that, it's not that hard to find these conversations, and that's
and they're not lone wolves like they try to say.
Right.
They're people who talk to other people. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's like, you know, I'm going to do this. It's all this kind of information on where to buy weapons, what kind of weapons to buy, blah, 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 blah. There's all these conversations going on. And like I was saying earlier about, I hope cats upstate handle their business. But also what happens is these kids go upstate and they lock in with the Aryans in the jail. So they don't get,
right.
They don't even really get a chance to get touched because they look as, they're part of heroes. You know, they walk in, it's like, oh, you.
Well, heroes, but they're also looked as young minds that they can grab and, exactly. and further like will exactly. to their movement, which is mm-hmm. fucking crazy. I know we got to go into into Texas, but as an aside, when we're talking about the young men and the incels and the violence and everything, I was reading the other week about the kind of where China and India are now, both these countries that for a long time were practicing femicide, infant femicide, and both of them have 3 million surplus men than women in their population.
3 million.
3 million. Each of them. This is the most unbalanced gender ratio in recorded human history. And it's affecting housing. It's affecting the housing market. It's affecting the job market.
Of course.
But what's even scarier for me is like, we have one grown generation now. There's another generation that's growing, right? Because China just stopped the one child rule in fucking like 2015.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, the culture that's gonna come out of this, out of two generations of this, is gonna be fucking horrific, and it's gonna make its way east. Because even in China, the women who are there, they don't want to marry these motherfuckers because they're damaged and disturbed, and let's forget knowing how to date women. They haven't been around.
They've been around
girls women. Their age, like yeah. at all.
And essays are out of control.
One girl in her whole grade, like through all of like elementary school and middle school, like at all. So, just I mean, they haven't even been socialized with them. It's gonna be a fucking disaster. This is gonna be a disaster. So the crime rate, violent crime is up. Obviously, sex trafficking and sex crimes are up, and it's just gonna keep going.
Jesus Christ! I didn't know about that.
Yeah,
that's horrible. Did y'all listen any of y'all to the Kendrick album?
Absolutely not.
I still have. I know what is for me, and I don't know that that's for me. I'm gonna listen to it because my husband really likes it, and I'm gonna have to hear that shit at some point.
I'll try and fucks with it.
Yeah.
Okay. I admire Kendrick. I'm a fan of him as an artist. I don't need to listen to his work to be a fan of him as an artist.
Has ever in the history of ever been in a group of people and said, "Hey, throw that Kendrick on."
Except the first album. That first album was a rider. That's the name. And the recipe was a joint. But other than that, no.
You put on Kendrick at a gathering, you scaring the hoes.
So. No, you can put on what's good we're gonna be all right.
There are some album. Joints for
you
sure.
Put good kid, Mad City.
You can't put the album on though. You can't put the album on. Go ahead, bro.
Kendrick is to me. When I listen to him now, it feels like an artist doing what they think that they're supposed to do. Like, I feel like there's a level of growth in artistry that happens, and I feel like there's a level of expectation mm-hmm. that artists get sort of pigeonholed and sort of boxed in to some degree. And I feel like some of the material that he's doing, it's a little overly dramatic, in my opinion. It's a lot on it, right? Like, and it's almost like he's doing what is expected of him. It's like the one dude in your crew that
I keep being different.
He might say some really powerful shit one day, right? And then all the niggas like turn to him for that powerful shit, and he's really not a powerful nigga. He's just a nigga that says some great shit one night.
Now he's boxed in, and now
he's boxed in, and he walking around. He giving niggas books on their birthday, and he wearing glasses now. It's like, nigga, you don't even wear glasses, Earl.
I feel like you just described something funny one time, and you just described his manner,
his whole career evolution.
That's exactly what it feels like. Like the nigga, like you had niggas laughing on the bus, and even though everyone is on your payroll, because they were laughing, you felt like you were ready to go out on the road, right? Like it just feels like. There's that. What's that record that he makes with the back and forth with the woman?
Oh, the fuck you, fuck you.
That is a ridiculous record. That's a ridiculous record to listen to consume. As now, if you're making art, like I don't know about everyone else. I like to enjoy music.
Mm-hmm.
I want to feel happy. When I hear music, I want to have feelings of connectivity when I hear music, right? And you can do that without it being like this over the top, super overproduced shit. It just feels like a nigga trying to do what he thinks is expected of him as the real rap savior God is bringing this artistic. Integrity, nigga, just make a fucking record.
Right. Yeah. You can also make a record that that gives you something to think about without it, but it's still being accessible. Like it doesn't have to be work for you to be able to decipher the record. And that's what I get annoyed with when there's niggas like, you just ain't deep enough to understand it. No, motherfucker, it just does not have to be that complicated, because what a great artist does is makes music that everybody can get on in different levels.
Exactly.
So, I think about Jay. Jay's genuinely one of the best wordsmiths we have, so it was Big. I still hear new shit in Big, and it's been fucking 25 years. You know what I'm saying? And I'll be like, oh,
but I'm glad you...
Go ahead.
I'm glad you said that. Work. Nigga, I don't want to work to listen to your music, because I didn't have to work to get the greats, nigga. I didn't have to work to get the greats. And the fact that I have to go back here and now I got to read all these fucking liner notes and I got to go back to a fucking book.
Watch YouTube like tutorials.
I got to watch a YouTube conspiracy.
I got to Google historical references.
Yeah, I mean you know,
God bless. If that's what young folks dig about wanting to fuck with that music, God bless. And I like Kendrick. So that I'm clear, I don't like him, right? It's not like, you know, oh, this nigga. It's just, for me, that ain't my bag. It's just not my bag. It's not enjoyable. I hear that shit, and honestly, man, I feel heavy.
Yeah.
I compare him to
like Miles Davis, like Miles when he went to like super like experimental jazz phase. Everything was like way off beat and it didn't make sense. And he was turning his back to the audience and, you know, and all that shit.
And I think a part of that shit, and I'm glad you, and again, I think a part of that shit was because Miles had been sort of made to feel like he couldn't do this one particular thing. Like he had to be so eclectic, had to be so different that shit went totally off the rails.
Yeah, it did. It did. And you know, I mean, for what it's worth, I mean, Kendrick's first week of sales was 350. So it did well, but it's going to kind of fall off a cliff because I don't think there's anything, like you said, for the kids to really grasp onto and just enjoy. You know, it's like, you know, they just like, it's like, okay.
And I don't think he makes... I think when you take his catalog, I think when it is all said and done and you take his catalog into consideration, you are not going to have a lot of memorable records. You are not going to have a lot of records that make you say, I remember where I was the summer of, you know, 2002, the way we do with other records. I just don't think he has that connection. Obviously, We Gonna Be All Right is a record of protest, and it was a record that was adopted for a lot of protests and things of that nature. So we will always sort of consider that as a part of that period. But I don't really think about his records really kind of outside of that.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been going back to the album. I'll probably get back to it one day, just but I got to be in the right frame. Okay, now I'm going to give you like a 3 minutes to run on this one.
Oh, wow.
Juneteenth.
Oh, my God.
Here we go.
When Juneteenth became a national holiday,
which was just last year, correct?
Yeah, it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
There were some Black people who proceeded to sigh heavily and roll their eyes. I was one of those people. And here's why. Because Juneteenth is not even a Black national celebration. There are Black folks who have just discovered what I didn't know what Juneteenth was until I was grown. There are other Black folks who just discovered what Juneteenth was in the last several years. The reason being, because Juneteenth is specific to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So people in Texas, people in Oklahoma, Arkansas, and
in the Southwest.
Well,
yeah.
And not just the whole Southwest, but directly the direct migration route. Like the Great Migration has roots. It's the reason why people from North Carolina and South Carolina all went. It's the reason why everybody in New York has people in North Carolina and South Carolina. Everybody in Chicago has people in Mississippi. Everybody in the Bay has people in Texas. Mm-hmm. It's because they
follow. LA is a lot of Texas too.
Yeah, they followed the train. It's the train line. So for Texas, that part of Texas that was Arkansas, Oklahoma, maybe Kansas. I might be making that one up. But then going out to the Bay, right? So that's why there are always celebrations there. But the rest of us, other states have their own emancipation or freedom days based on their emancipation date, right? So while I think it was important that people like be educated in what Juneteenth was, what it represented, making it a national holiday on the heels of George Floyd and uprising really felt like an empty gesture. And I understand that there are Black activists from Texas who've been trying to get this as a nationally mandated holiday for quite some time. I didn't feel like it was the time yet. So now let's come to this year. These motherfuckers got Walmart goddamn great value, Juneteenth flavor ice cream that was cheesecake and red velvet cake swirl. We got paper goods that say it's freedom. That's the freedom for me.
It's the freedom for me.
The dollar store got a whole Juneteenth section right next to the 4th of July section and making up shit. Like there's a Black Africa fist situation. Juneteenth think I shouldn't do Africa. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just like people just making up shit. And
it's the chains for me.
The chains. So the Mylar chains. Somebody was arguing. I was actually debating with somebody on Twitter with all of us because they were like, one of these new Blacks did this. And I was like, ain't no way. I was like, this is Walmart. I was like, somebody white saw the shit on Instagram and just the Black person in the room just ain't argue. But sure enough, Walmart contracted these two young Black women who have this whole event, like accessories company. It's called Celeplate, like celebrate, but with a plate. And they had actually trademarked the name Emancipate. And I was like, who the fuck? What? And they trademarked Juneteenth for party products, which you didn't make Juneteenth up. Why do you need to own Juneteenth for paper goods? And on their site, they featured this full tablescape where they had like, you would have thought it was a homecoming. They had 1865 in Mylar balloons.
Saw that.
They have a plate that says Juneteenth established 1865. And I'm like, that's not quite how this works. And they had Mylar balloon shackles, broken shackles, running down the table as a fucking tablescape. And I was like, this is why the fuck. But the Juneteenth ice cream, Juneteenth is a trademark for food and beverage by this company full of white men.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole nothing, but this is exactly why. As soon as the date goes on the fucking calendar, the universal calendar, it becomes a corporate date. And I
don't
was
forget
like,
that it was a celebration. I think in Arkansas, Oklahoma.
Yeah, but that was
planned by all white folks, right?
It was planned by a former Razorback though, who's Black, but he's a Black Republican.
But why did he put and all it was, the white?
Well, the thing here's what it allegedly was. It was allegedly like a sample program for something he wanted to put together, and it got out. as it should have, because he was wilding out. And the backlash was so bad that he canceled the program. And it was also going to be held in Memorial Stadium, which is a Confederate Memorial Stadium, which also against the point. But this nigga literally said, what is his name? I got to look up his name because it's a cool ass name that he goes by. But this nigga literally said, I'm being lynched for this idea. And I was like, the language is the reason why you do not need to do this, because you clearly don't get it. You do not fucking get it. And like, all that brands and corporations are going to do now, you gave them a date with a catchy name and a fucking color.
It's over.
They're going to take the same templates they have for Pride, flip them shits with red, black, and green, put that shit on the stores.
How do the Pride people, are they pissed off about their thing being
commercial? Well, Pride is different, right?
I know, like, it's a different thing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I mean, but I have seen like a reclamation, because Pride is a party, Juneteenth is a celebration, but like
Pride is like they have parades and...
Yeah,
like,
but that, I have seen people try to remind folks that Pride started with a revolt. Like, it started with a literal protest and fight, right? Mm-hmm. It's become much more light and celebratory and party-esque, et cetera, which Juneteenth is very celebratory and party-esque. But my thing is, it belongs to Texas. A lot of Juneteenth traditions are what they are because it's in Texas. So it's not necessarily for us to just all be like, we need some red food and
we're going
to
do velvet cake. And some-
yeah, like, let Texas have that. Acknowledge it, but like, don't give me motherfuckers days off and shit. I have a problem with it, because at the same time, we're talking about Juneteenth is on our calendar. Literally, you want to acknowledge the day of emancipation for the last of the Americans, you know, American slaves, 2 years after the actual Emancipation Proclamation.
Yeah, that was fucked
while up. At the same time denying, you know, Nicole Hannah Jones' tenure because 1619 Project was too fucking messy for you white
people. Too real.
Same shit. And also trying to remove any conversation about slavery, even fucking blackness at all, in schools. And don't, like, make the math don't math.
That was the thing I tweeted, texted y'all. I think there's a clear push to make slavery and the way this country has treated black people to downplay it, and which is, you know, where a lot of the CRT pushback comes from.
Yeah.
And them getting a hold, the powers that be getting a hold of Juneteenth, what'll happen is it'll become like a nice day where everybody's celebrating.
Yeah. We're just all celebrating freedom, which you can
tell. Exactly. Even the white people are just as happy for the black people.
But that's what we're doing on July 4th. So don't you need to distinguish the freedoms? Here's the thing, though. That's been a thing. The reason that the history books are altered, the reason that plantations have been converted into these beautiful tourist destinations, the reason that the South has been antiquated with like this idea of Southern pride and Scarlett O'Hara, Southern Belles, and all that shit is intentional. It's been intentional since literally the end of the war. There have been organizations like the Daughters of the Confederacy and all of that stuff who have literally gotten on school boards. They have petitioned. The reason that we have all these monuments, the reason all that shit is by design. That's what neo-Confederates do. Like, it's all by design to whitewash the history and to actually reinvent the story of the Civil War as like this noble fight for the South to just be
black people were British too and rose up
but also that black people enjoyed slavery. They were treated well.
They loved their masters, they had free food, and they were good.
It was all good. They hated being cast out into the cold. So all this shit is by design.
Absolutely.
But the one thing that I need people to remember is that as long as white folks are out here touting the Confederacy, you have, like, you can absolutely talk about racism. They're the same fucking, it's the same shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the same time, same date. So it's like, you can't tell me I need to forget about racism because it was so long ago, but at the same time, you talk about you say it's not a big deal to have a Confederate monument up in a town that wasn't even part of the Confederate States. So it's like, Same shit. If I can't talk about slavery, you can't talk about the Confederacy. How about that?
Exactly.
You put the flag down, I might shut the fuck up. And so you do that, I can go on about this shit all day. Literally, it's the same shit. So it's like, except slavery lasted you know, 400 times longer than the fucking Confederacy.
And but, lasting longer than they want to count slavery because right. You know, we had sharecropping on that, which is basically slavery part two.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Jim Crow and, you know, and on and on and on and on and on. Redlining, and we keep going, you know what I'm saying? Right. To today with the cops basically being overseers and killing black people because...
All of that shit. It's all from the same shit. So anyway, yes, Juneteenth, here's the thing. If y'all want to celebrate it, celebrate it. But please, like, know what the fuck. Know what it is. Educate people on it.
But we've seen this movie already with the way they've done Dr. King. He's become Black Santa Claus. He's just like, I just loved everybody. And I didn't care if they beat me in the head with bats or anything.
Dr. King wouldn't have wanted you to do
that. Yeah, Dr. King wouldn't have wanted you to be like
y'all know this. One line from one speech. Ever.
And at the end, and what happened at the end? Y'all shot Dr. King.
Y'all shot him anyway. Exactly.
And murdered
y'all be like, Dr. King wouldn't have done this and y'all killed that nigga anyway.
Exactly. So what are we talking about?
Right.
I wanted to mention Meghan Markle real quick before we go into Texas. So Meghan Markle went to Texas. It was yesterday or the day before yesterday. I think it was yesterday. In the last couple of days. Unannounced, because she was just upset by what happened. She flew in unannounced. She had a very small security detail. Nobody knew she was coming. She went. She laid some flowers on the
memorial site.
She, just said some prayers. She went to one of the schools where, giving out food and helping people. Again, unannounced. Matter of fact, one of the women said, "I didn't even know that was her." She said this woman just walked up, she had a mask on, and she started talking. Yeah, she started talking to me like about what happened, blah, blah, blah. But it was no like click. And then somebody took a picture of them. And then afterwards they was like, that was Meghan Markle. And the lady was like, what?
Because
Meghan wasn't even on it like that. And she left and she quietly left, again, it was no fanfare. She was dressed way down. She had like a baseball hat on and she had her mask on, jeans or something. And then, of course, then the white folks is mad at her.
What?
Because you made a PR stunt. She was like, she walked in there the people.
Nobody even knew who she was.
There's nothing she could do that will garner the favor of the people who already hate her. Like, everybody who doesn't like her for marrying Harry or whatever the fuck is never gonna like her. Like,
but ironically, that is the most Diana shit ever. Like, that's exactly what her mother-in-law would have done. Exactly.
Same shit.
This is a Meghan Markle fan account over here. Yeah. I love her. I think she's fantastic.
She is fantastic. I guess we got to go into Texas because I don't see any other lighthearted things to talk about.
I mean, but do we really have the like?
Well, we have to go to the deep. This is what I wanted to talk about. We know what happened.
Sean, you mute. Sean,
hopefully,
going
he hollering.
I'm like, nah, nigga, I got something to say. Go ahead, bro.
No, I was saying, we don't know the details.
Right.
But that's where I was going.
Yeah.
That's where I was going.
But every detail that comes out is worse than the last.
But that's
every
I'm going.
Real it detail feels, is worse than the fake detail.
It feels like, it feels like a pure, the cops are trying to do now a pure cover up because they fucked up badly. Massively, 40% of this town's budget was dedicated to their police force and all the military level weaponry that they, purchased. But it seems like there wasn't much training going on because this 18-year-old kid shoots his grandmother in the face after some argument, allegedly. Then he drives, steals. They said it wasn't, but now they're saying it was his grandmother's truck. And he drove to the school for some reason.
He crashes in a ditch.
Yeah, he crashed in a ditch.
That's okay. Was already alerted. Go ahead.
We don't even know if the school was the original target because he was already in somewhat of a police chase and ran into the school after exchanging gunfire.
Yes.
So he crashed near it and jumped out of the car.
But there was a 15-minute gap between the time he crashed and the time he entered the school.
Right.
So they said there was some police back and forth, of course. But now it's like, well, why weren't you guys able to kind of like
because he opened
stop him then?
So here's the thing. The school safety officers couldn't stop him because he opened fire. And what they said initially was that somebody was injured, but apparently it was a very mild injury. What I'm going to say is that the niggas were scared. That's why
And also they said there was a school's officer there who he exchanged fire with, then it comes out there was no officer at all.
Well, we don't know, because Reddit said there was, no, they said there was one that was armed, and then they said he wasn't armed.
Then they said there was nobody at all. It was that person does not exist.
But people in the town, the problem with the whole, so let me back up. The problem with the whole thing is that the police department came out from the gate like, we did everything.
On some hero shit. On some hero
Yeah, we
shit.
Did everything we could do. It could have been so much worse. Blah, 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 blah. Greg Abbott fucking lying. Oh, sorry, mm-hmm. Abby. Lying and doing all this other stuff. So, but then people who were there, because the shooter was in the building for over an hour. So parents had been on site. And that's what we didn't know at first. Parents had been on site. People who were there were like, nah, that's not what happened. Let us tell you what happened. Yeah. So then it comes out that like, people had heard on police scanners or heard word that there was a that
and
there
of
was
course
a
people filming in the camera
scene with an AR-15 going into the school. Then it was like cops said something like he barricaded himself in, but then it was like, no, actually the cops barricaded him in the mm-hmm. classroom. Mm-hmm. And then there was the fact that like, oh, they had tried to go in after him, but he opened fire, so they retreated. And my thing is like, and you know, so they kept changing their story. But parents are like, we were outside, we were trying to get in our kids, they were pepper spraying parents, arresting parents, tackling parents, but the cops went in and got their kids.
And came out. And this is the other thing. Out. So, when it happened a couple days ago, that was obviously this was the end of school year. So it happened to be the awards day. That's why there were so many parents there.
Right.
It was like, oh, best, you know, best
athlete. Well, there were also parents there because it was
fucking. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, like, the town was small. Yeah.
The town was small. And there was enough time to drive there,
yeah,
be there. Before they even opened fire. Also, the kids were inside calling 911.
Yep. And so, yeah, so there was a lot of parents in the area and began because it was also awards day, because I think the last day of school was one day this week. So, he said, now it's come out that it wasn't all the kids in one classroom. That was, again, they said today, it was four classrooms. So he was actually going class to class, allegedly, shooting kids. First, it felt like everybody was in one class, and he just shot up this one class. Now it's coming out that was four classes. He also killed two teachers who were trying to protect the students. There was one little girl who said she hid in the bathroom. She was, she's, traumatized.
Right.
One little girl put blood on herself from her friend.
So he would think.
So she was dead.
Can you imagine being in elementary school and you having to have the foresight to do some shit like that? But what I was going to say was, there's also some language. There's definitely a concern from the police, and I guess they're waiting for ballistics to come out, from the way they're wording things, that they hit or killed either a teacher or a kid. Because there's some language that said something like, we are now convinced that all the children were killed by the gunman's shots, which mm-hmm. means that they know they possibly maybe killed one of the teachers or they at least hit one of the injured kids with a return fire. Right. So with the thing about all of this that's coming out, and it is similar to, in a way, what happened with the subway shooter here in New York. Civilians are the only ones that actually went into action. Right.
Yeah.
And the response to all of this is always, because of the gun lobbies, is always, oh, more police force.
Mental
more
health.
More blah, blah. But it's like the police don't do anything. Police are containment units. Like, they're there just to, like, try to get shit in hand. They don't actually prevent crime. Like, yeah, police don't prevent crime. They are reactive people.
Too many people think this is, like, Die Hard or Gunsmoke, where it's like, boom, 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 boom. It don't work like that. Also, there was another thing. Another little girl said, like, when the cops did come in, they said, yell if you're okay.
Well, you which just told the gunman.
And then the one little girl said, "Help! I need help!" And then the gunman shot her.
Right.
So like they just fucked it all up.
And here's the thing: police actually are trained in violent crime. They just don't usually. They have no application of it because mm-hmm. less than like nationally, there was a study in 2020. Nationally, like about 5% of what cops respond to is actually violent crime. So, and I think like 1% is homicides or something like that. But ultimately, AR-15 was enough to scare marshals, U.S. marshals, and officers from going in to try to get dude. But the hero with the gun is supposed to be the solution to shit like this. Like, arming the teachers clearly ain't school, a school the, because not, you that's, literally that's, have armed police officers there.
We're scared. So the teachers are going to be scared. And the wild thing, I mean, there's so many wild things. The wild thing is, like you said, so you it takes at least hours. Some people, I've seen some reports said it was up to 90 minutes before they stormed the school. But the police are being mad aggressive outside to the parents.
To the parents, right. Like,
who just want to get to their kids. So now these parents are like, maybe my son or my daughter was alive.
And I could have got him.
But you,
like, one woman got our parents. Yeah,
one woman did get us. Yeah, you motherfuckers ran in and got your kids.
Right.
But you pepper sprayed and maced us and, you know, put cuffs on us because we wanted to get ours. This shit is a disaster.
And I know that officers say, we just want to make it home at the end of the day. I understand that. Maybe going to a different line of work. If it really was going to come down to it and you can't put your life on the line for citizens,
it's not your
job. Don't be a cop. Like, that's my thing. Because it's not going to come up in your day-to-day line of duty.
But it might come up. It may
come up. And if not... Sean, you in the Matrix again.
Yeah, sure. Move your joint because you. Inka, you got something to say about this? Until we get Sean set up?
I will say that on. This happened on Tuesday, right? Wednesday.
Tuesday or Wednesday? I think it was Wednesday.
Yeah.
So I. I were in the car. And I had to get a green pepper because I was going to, you know, it's some spaghetti in there myself through this weekend. Like, doing shit. But I just needed a green pepper. And so I just went down the street to Tops. And when I pulled up, I was so anxious. I was like, let me just look at my phone and just, you know, Twitter's always funny.
Right.
And I go to Twitter and I see that all these babies have been killed in Texas in school. And I don't know how we're expected to live like this. No. Like, here I am trying to find courage to go into a grocery store.
Yeah.
Why am I the one who cries on this podcast? But
well, this one is closest. I mean, you're going into a Tops with your kindergartner child. Yeah.
My kindergartner. And just all this past couple of months, I've just been working with Ivy's therapist and teachers and the director for school, just trying to figure out what kindergarten is going to look like for her. And the thing they kept mentioning that might trigger her is fire drills. It's a loud noise. It's a thing that, you know, autistic kids with sensory processing issues, that's hard for them because fight or flight goes crazy. And Ivy is one who will stand straight up and put her hands over her ears and just scream if a loud noise is happening. And I think I just thought I had more time before I had to
worry about something like this.
Worry about school shootings.
That is
fucking a high school thing, right?
Yeah, right.
So dropping her off on Wednesday was like, and I mean, she goes to like a tiny little school with, you know, there's 10 kids in there and like two teachers, but I almost couldn't do it.
Yeah. Mm. I can imagine.
I don't know how. By the way, I stand up and scream when loud noises too. Like, no, seriously, like in New York with these fucking sirens, I'd be like, please, my God.
But like, I can't teach her to hide.
Yes,
she's in danger because that's not natural for her. So, like,
yeah.
What chance do these babies even have?
If
they're calling the police from their brand new phones because they're 10, and this is my gift for my 10th birthday, and I'm
calling 911.
The police are outside and there's nothing that I can do. Like, I can't protect her from that. And that feeling.
What's worse, Inka, is I don't want to say you and
no,
I.
No, no, so you good. Go ahead.
But a child calls mommy or daddy from the phone and the police won't let them in the fucking door. The police won't let them in the
joint. Yeah. It's so crazy.
Like, what are you doing? Because, you know, in Texas, again, because I saw a father say this. He's like, yo, everybody had guns. It's Texas. Yeah. Like, we could we was ready to go in and get busy. Like, it ain't just like y'all had guns. We got guns too. Like, what's
I don't know why police exist at this point. What are you even doing?
And like, well, I was just going to say, the only thing I was going to say now, I'll see Deshaun was like, the other thing people were talking about, and you just made me think about this, Inka, were like, what the active shooter drills look like for kindergartners and elementary school students. And it was just like this horrific thread of accounts from elementary school teachers and people with, you know, kids in elementary school. And I'm just thinking of the trauma just of going through active
drills.
There are some babies, the ones who sit closest to the door, that they train to stand up and make noise
and distract so that their other ones can get away. It's like, what? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sean.
I mean, I don't really have much to add about the shooting. I do want to say that I would like for us to take a step back and really start to examine the hero worship that is sort of paraded and bestowed upon officers just for being an officer.
Yes.
And cloaking them in this bravery cloth. Listen, people freeze. That is not uncommon. It is what you do after you freeze, right? To be slightly hesitant is normal, and it is a human reaction. Bravery is the example of knowing that danger, like being fully aware of the danger and going in there. It's one of the reasons we talk about firemen in the way that we do, right? Because it's like, who the fuck runs into the burning building? Everyone is leaving. Right. And there's a certain you know, mark that is beyond training. That is beyond training. You can train people for muscle memory and all of those sorts of things. But what it appears to be is that people thought about themselves first and foremost. And I just want us to really start to grapple with how we have treated police post 9/11, how we have given them this sort of this iconic sort of, you know, energy and the propaganda and all of the shit that comes with it, because more than likely the responses are going to be what we saw, which is an overreaction to people who are unarmed and concerned, and an underreaction to the person who is actually committing harm.
Right.
I'm floored by this municipal's administration and this police department, and in not being able to answer what I would assume to be very basic questions about a tactical breach and why it would take an hour. I'm very shocked that an AR-15 would be enough to, not sure, it could be enough to hold back people with sidearms. I can totally understand that. I don't know if many people have ever shot an AR-15 or been up close to one. I've been in the range with somebody who's shot one. I had to step back out of the booth. I'll put it to you like that. That is how forceful and
so powerful
and loud that gun is. I literally put the weapon down, stepped out of the booth, and I had to take a second.
Right.
So I can understand if there's a guy in there with the sidearm being sort of pinned down by that sort of gunfire. But to not have any action, to have no action, because that's what it appears, that this guy had unfettered access to a school of babies.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean by the act of bravery. Like, If this is a bank situation and we're talking about a ton of grown-ups in there, like, I'm not co-signing it, but I think your trepidation on going in to save a bunch of grown-ups should be and would normally be very different than going to save children.
Yes.
I just can't wrap my head around. I can't wrap my head around the helplessness and knowing that there is a helplessness in there and not being willing to.
And not be willing to do
something, right? It should never take a town that small to have like, where was your SWAT team? You guys have a SWAT team. You guys have tactical training. Like, what in the hell took so long?
The fact that Border Patrol were the law enforcement that went in there to stop this.
I was going to say, to Sean's point about tactical training and the whole post-military heroification, you know, post 9/11, part of the reason, so there are actually studies about, like, the increased militarization of law enforcement and the heroification of law enforcement, hero worship of law enforcement post 9/11. And what I was saying a minute ago is like, we really act like just by putting on a uniform. I'm not saying that cops, that being a cop is not a risky, a very risky position. But again, finest versus bravest, I think being a firefighter is far more risky because, again, police officers on average only respond to 5% of violent crimes, right? And like, so death in the line of duty absolutely happens, but it's not guaranteed. It's not every day. It's not, you know, whatever. So most of them respond to bullshit. Or like,
and to not be, and I don't want to be dismissive about that. I don't want to be dismissive, but I do want to say too, the majority of those deaths in the line of duty are car accidents.
Right.
Last year it was COVID.
So when they use those numbers as a justification for increasing budgets, as a justification for increasing militarization and things of that nature, it is used under the context that the idea is that a bad guy has jumped out of the bush and he's killed these officers and ambushed and killed a cop. And we know that that has happened.
But it doesn't always happen.
Yeah,
and exactly. It was mostly small town departments like this one who were accessing the budget to buy militarized armor, you know, weapons.
Shit, the military doesn't even use like that.
Yeah, like it's not, because there was no review of like what town is requesting this equipment. They were just sending it to fucking Podunk, you know, USA, where. So you've been riding around in tanks playing motherfucking army all this time.
And then when it comes down to the get down, ain't nobody got no training.
You're holding the parents from going in for what? They can't make the situation any fucking worse.
And we immediately see this turning already.
Yep.
These babies are still warm, and we're watching this turn into a gun control debate.
Yep.
We're watching this turn into the extremists on both ends of the spectrum, on both ends of this argument. The we don't want any guns and the we want to be able to carry bazooka people, right, are all going into the war chest right now. We're watching this unfold during midterms. We're watching, like, I'm just disgusted, man. Like, there's a level of, let's have a baseline discussion of what we think is like reasonable, and to think that it is reasonable for an 18-year-old to walk into a store and buy two long. First of all, those guns are not cheap. I can assure you.
Yes, that's
what the one he used was $2,000, I think. Plus, yeah, where'd you get that from?
The two guns can easily run you $3,000, like in the blink of an eye. Okay, the type of ammunition, again, it's very expensive. It's not cheap, right? Like, we're not talking about, you know, plinking target practice ammo here, right? So the fact that he's able to go in and walk in and just do this and walk out at 18 years old, like, it's just it's nothing. Not even 21. Like, we're saying, yo, man, you can have this fucking killer machine, but you can't go in and get a beer.
Exactly.
That's not a unrealistic, or at least the baseline that we should be having this conversation, is just tells me all I need to know about both of the ends of the spectrum here. Yeah. And I just don't know. I don't know what to do. I mean,
yeah.
Even though I don't have, you know, really small children, it's still something you think about all the time, even for your own safety.
Of course. Walk
into a store and your head is on a swivel.
Yeah, you're looking at the mirrors and shit.
And it's hard.
It's about to be Memorial Weekend.
Yeah.
It's about to be a parade and lots of people and open
firecrackers and
we're not going to none of that shit.
The balance that's tricky, me and Cheyenne were talking about this last night, the balance that's tricky is walking this line between being aware, right, and being properly vigilant and being frozen, like not being able to really function at all, because there's always been a likelihood that anything can happen, but it feels more so than ever that literally anything could happen. But if you really function in that, like, you would never leave your fucking house. Like, you could get, now it's like, you get COVID, you get shot, you get fucking, you know, attacked by a fucking white supremacist, you could get killed by a police officer, you could get scammed, you get robbed, like, you know what I'm saying? You get pickpocketed. Like, it just feels like you could, and if you're a woman, you might get raped and assaulted. Like, anything
or traffic
feels trafficked, you get kidnapped. It, like, the horrors of the world, right, feel so close. But it's like you don't want to be oblivious to it because you do have to be alert and careful because these things keep evolving. But also it's like you don't want to live in paralysis, you don't want to live under fear, you don't want to live in trepidation, and that line is getting harder to walk.
Yeah,
it's the actual definition of terrorism, though, is it not?
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. And then just watching that, I watched that press conference yesterday, and that policeman was obviously woefully unprepared. He was clout chasing, and he was out there trying to, you know, well, I'm going to get back to you. What's your name? I'm going to circle back to you. Like, it's like y'all are just in over your head so deep.
And for the record, that was like the most 101 basic professional workshop shit I've ever seen in my life. What's your name? Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here, bro. You know what the fuck he's asking.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here. You know what he's asking. You know why you can't answer that.
Yep.
Because when they said that, when they said two officers were shot, that's when I said, oh, there's bullshit happening. Because never in the fucking history of recorded time has two cops been shot in the line of duty, and that has not been the fucking lead.
The first line.
They have not had their fucking mugshots plastered all over everywhere as heroes and, you know, like, so get the fuck out of here with that bullshit.
Yeah.
Now you're going to have all of the conspiracy shit from every other angle, because now it's going to be, you know, autopsies and was there friendly fire? Was there this? Was there what?
Were the kids being sacrificed?
What happened in there? And ultimately, the reason we have not gotten a full scope of what has taken place is because they are backtracking. They are going backward to see what is on tape, what is on dash cam video, what ballistics will prove, are making their story as they work backwards, because they are all over the fucking place. It is an absolute shit show. That fucking fat slob of a fucking mayor, every last one of them on that stage when Beto O'Rourke went up there to confront Jim Abbott, every last one of those pieces of shit can eat glass and die slow. They're fucking disgusting. And the fact that the fact that Joe Biden will put out a fucking statement about not having the federal government make an inquiry into that fucking department is disgusting. And he needs to be a fucking ashamed of himself.
I don't even understand that. Like,
that's fucking, you know what he's doing? Because that is that long game politic bullshit. Instead of doing what is right when it is in front of you and addressing the shit that is in front of you, they do this bullshit of we're going to play the long game. So what they don't want to do is they don't want to upset the apple cart in the fucking midterms with those Texas voters, right? And they don't want to come off as being non-police friendly during these midterms. And so they're holding back on what is absolutely fucking right to do and what is just to do and what is well within their wheelhouse. And they're going on this fucking parade of this sanctimonious bullshit that the left does where they sit on their fucking soapbox and they sit on their hands and they play a PR game.
And
it's fucking disgusting.
Yeah, and now today is the first day of the NRA convention in Houston. Greg Abbott pulled out, but he pulled out halfway because he's got a video that they're showing. So he's not gonna be in the building, but he still have a presence. But Ted Cruz and the rest of them are still going and are gonna speak. So
they also banned guns from the NRA convention.
Yeah, exactly. They banned guns from the NRA convention. But they want guns.
It's just fucking hilarious.
They want everybody to have guns. So, shit, since we've been taping, some shit probably changed. You know what I'm saying? This thing is changing every minute, it seems like. So we'll see what the updates are. But you know, bless those babies. And bless the man, I can't remember his last name now, Gatius Garcia. His wife was one of the teachers who was killed. And then he had a heart attack yesterday from the stress and the grief. And he died.
They leave behind four children.
So those four kids lost their parents, two parents in 2 days' time from this thing. Yeah, it's crazy, man. Shit, it's crazy. Ugh. Anyway.
Yeah, man.
You know, and now, I mean, you know, peace to Golden State and probably the Celtics. They're going to be playing in the finals for the NBA championship. Playoffs haven't really been this round of playoffs to me hasn't been really that enjoyable because every game is a blowout either way. It's no close game.
It's been trash, bro. I've been watching regular TV.
Me too. I'm in here watching Barry. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, hey.
I've been watching the
fire this season.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? This is every game is either like one team wins by 30 or the other team wins by 30. It's like. Right.
I haven't heard. I mean, yeah, Twitter's been talking about the games every night, but it doesn't feel like the same level of.
No, it's not. It's not. You know, honestly, I, you know, for what it's worth, I think, you know, they miss LeBron. LeBron being there is like, you know, he's still LeBron. I mean, I don't think he's good enough. He's not as good as he used to be, but just him being in the finals brings a sense of drama that he's a star. And it's not there this year. But yeah, I guess on that note, we're gonna wrap it up. You know, again, peace to everybody in Texas and Uvalde, I think is the name of the town. You know, those funerals are gonna be just my gosh, the funerals in Buffalo,
tiny caskets.
Oh my God, it's gonna be terrible.
What I will say is that these citizens do not seem like they're standing down.
No. They're pissed off. That's why they put out those videos from the cops. They pissed the fuck off.
This might help the dialogue. Because what I don't understand personally before we leave is how these senators and Congress people who, you know, take NRA dollars and who, you know, vote against gun control over and over again. Look at themselves every day. I don't understand.
Because it. I could tell you exactly how. Because they make it an extreme argument. Mm-hmm. They make it so that it is not an argument based in anything realistic. The argument is solely shaped as a way for the government to come and take your guns.
Yeah.
Right.
That is it. It is based in the most extreme end of the spectrum. Yeah. And so what you do is we know that that's a dog whistle, right? So they're able to take that money and they're able to stand on this Second Amendment ideal and this justifiable bullshit, knowing that there is no rational reason for a fucking 18-year-old to have that kind of capacity weapon, right? Like, But instead of having sensible gun regulations, and I say this as a gun owner, instead of having sensible gun regulations, we go extreme. Yeah. And that is, again, both right and left. Mm-hmm. It is we want no fucking guns and we want to be able to have fucking drones and bazookas. Right. It's the most ridiculous shit.
Well, it was the same thing with defund the police. Like, I want the police to have tanks to be able to kick in doors, or I don't want any cops at all, and we're just going to just ourselves. Like, nigga, come on.
Like, nigga, you don't want no cops? No cops?
Nobody?
I don't know about none, nigga.
Yeah, I don't know about none. Like,
I don't know about none, my nigga. Yeah. Like, we
that's
need
the same way I feel about abolishing prisons. I'm like, we need someplace to put
some. Yeah, some of y'all got to go.
I mean,
yeah.
Some of y'all niggas have to go.
If you don't want, if you want to abolish prisons, nigga, I would get a firing squad or something, nigga. You don't have to be halfway.
Because some of these niggas cannot be around.
All y'all can't be in society.
Yeah, some of y'all got to be removed from society.
I know niggas that have been to prison.
Yeah.
Several of them needed to be in prison.
Exactly. I didn't want them niggas around the way. You know what I'm saying? Shit. All right. Well, you know, happy holiday, happy Memorial Day to y'all and whatever y'all do.
Be safe.
Yep.
You know, be safe out there and, you know, just eat a burger on the grill, sit in the backyard, man. Chill out, you know?
Yeah. That's it.
Hug your babies. Chill out, man.
Yeah, hug your babies and, you know, play. Go play. Let them play in the holes out there in the backyard. And we'll see y'all next week.
Later.
Bye.
Later.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @poplifepodcast.